friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Can I say something, friend, that I don't normally say? If He is your Savior, I'm glad that He is. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful to know your sins are under the blood, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that heaven's your home when this life is over? And I don't believe we're long for that, but may I continue with what I normally say? If He isn't your Savior, He wants to be. If He isn't your Savior, He can be. If He isn't your Savior, He came to be. But the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which is lost. How wonderful. How wonderful that news is. You see, the gospel is good news. That's exactly right. It is good news to a fallen world, to a lost mankind. It's good news that Jesus saves. Well, I've opened my Bible, the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, right on. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I'm just going to read maybe just one verse of Scripture out of there, maybe more, but I'll reflect on some of it as I simply set before you the text verse for the message that God has laid on my heart. Hey, can I tell you this? I ask you to pray for me about this message. I'm definitely praying for you. You know, the pastor or the preacher's job is rarely easy. Do you know that? A lot of people kind of romanticize preaching and what all goes with it and all these kind of things. But God has called me, listen now, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I heard a man preach one time by the name of Tony Hudson. He said, two-thirds of what a preacher does is negative. He reproves, rebukes. Well, you know, that's in some part true. But can I tell you, the message today is probing. I want you to know that. So get ready, get ready. But before we do that, Deb's got a song she's going to sing. The title of it is Fastened to the Rock. And I believe that to some degree it goes right along with what the Lord has laid on my heart. You pray for me again. I'm praying for you. Acts chapter 8. I'll be back in a moment.
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know one thing for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure. And I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock, the rock of all ages. In Him I find sweet peace, this I know. For He tells me to be still, and He will show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. Is renewed, Lord, my strength, it comes from You. And I know with You that I'll carry on. For my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock.
That's special to know. Do you know that? You remember the Bible tells us about two men building for eternity. One was building on the sand. One was building on the rock. And they had similar experiences of life. I mean, storms came, the rains came, the winds blew, the waters rose and all that. And you know the house that stood, the house that was built on the rock. Well, I trust you're building on that foundation, that precious stone, that tried stone, that sure stone, that chief cornerstone. The Word of God refers to time and time again. Well, Deb, thanks for that song, a beautiful song, provoking song, and encouraging song. Now look, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. I want to be a blessing to you. I want us to grow in His grace and His knowledge. And listen, friend, there's some things sometimes we've got to do. You know, when I go to the doctor on occasion, man, He probes me. There are things that He asks of me, questions that He puts forth before me, answers that He expects, tests that He does that I don't like. I don't like it when a dentist takes a drill and makes that awful noise, and there are bits of bone and everything else flying out of my mouth, on my face, the smell of it, the steam. I don't like that kind of stuff. But you know what? It's necessary. It is necessary sometimes to probe and look and to pinpoint and to find out and make corrections. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's a lot of cancer that invades the bodies of men and women, and some, thank God, advances in cancer have been made where they find it, they can pinpoint it and take care of it. My wife, my lovely wife, is a testimony to that very thing. She's a cancer survivor. So as we think about these things and apply those kind of thoughts spiritually, there are times, friend, that a solid examination of ourselves, a consideration, the things that we would really rather not spend time thinking about may end up doing us good. If we take it in light of God's grace and do whatever the thing may needing be done, gets done, as we maybe get our life right with Jesus, if it's wrong. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 8, I'm going to explain the chapter in brief, but I'm going to get to a place that I believe the Spirit of God has led me to. This chapter is about a successful evangelistic campaign in reality that a man by the name of Philip had. I mean to tell you, listen, God had sent him to Samaria, opened a wonderful door for him with a message he preached and the power that he had to authenticate the message that he had with the miracles that he performed. Listen, that city had a great revival. There was a great move of the Spirit of God in that place as God was fulfilling His own word through men by preaching the gospel to Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel was moving out of its center of being, out of the city of Jerusalem to all the world. And one of the places that God sent it to was the city of Samaria. So while Philip was there, listen, he was having a great successful time. He ran into a unique individual, a man by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. That's what the Word of God says about him. He was some kind of unique man himself. I mean to tell you, the people looked at him highly. They were bewildered by him because he had bewitched them. I mean, they stood astonished and amazed at him, and even used sorceries, if you will, to deceive him. I mean, he had some power. He had some power. He was a very able man, without a doubt, educated. Well, he probably had a lot of good things going, but all the sad thing was he was using them deceitfully, to trick people, to deceive them, to get a following, to make himself to be something more than he was. Well, when he began to listen to Philip preach and to see the power that he had and to see the effect and the outcome of believing in the message that Philip preached, which was salvation by grace through faith, and the baptism that followed it as a testimony of the salvation that already had taken place. You know what the Bible says about Simon in verse 13? Then Simon himself. Now watch the words of this, believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I want you to know something. Simon was won by the miracles that Philip did, but he wasn't won by the message that he was preaching. I want you to know, friend, that as the lost are after somebody that was bewildered, he was after somebody that believed. That's what Philip was after. Look, friend, look. I want you to know that Simon is a unique creature. He followed him. And look, there needed to be some help from up in Jerusalem. And the elders sent down two great men, Peter and John. Oh, look, when they got there, changed things. I mean, to tell you, they laid hands on all those that believed because they hadn't heard about the Spirit of God yet. They had only been believing in the baptism of John, if I remember right. But when they came down, they laid hands on everybody and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that man, listen, he got stirred up. I mean, to tell you, he thought, wow. I mean, he saw when they laid hands on people, they received the Holy Ghost. He said, boy, I'd like to have that power. Listen to what he said in verse 18. He said, listen, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now watch Peter. Watch Peter with his wisdom of God, the power of God, the discernment of the Holy Spirit. He said unto him, he said, listen, Simon. He said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast sought the gift of God may be purchased with money. And I've said all that and read those few verses to get to this verse. And listen to what he said. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now Peter goes on to tell him. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter, the Bible says that Simon went on and said to Peter, he said, pray for me to the Lord that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned, meaning Peter and John, to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Hey, can I tell you something? This man by the name of Simon could have gotten right. I mean to tell you, he could have gotten right. Listen, he saw some things out of Philip. He saw some things out of the power that he had, the possession of the Holy Spirit, and what it meant to have it. I mean to tell you, he even mocked. He went through the ritual. It said he believed, and he was even baptized. But I want you to know something, friend. When Peter got there and heard what he heard, saw what he saw, he said, I'm going to tell you something, Simon. You're in trouble, son. He said, the reason you're in trouble, your heart's not right with God. Can I ask you this today? Can I ask you this? Oh, friend, this is so hard to preach. It's so hard to preach, but I must if I obey God. I must if I obey the leadership of the Spirit. Can I ask you something today? Is your heart right with God? Oh, we need to know that. We need to know that from the oldest to the youngest, from men, women, boy, and girl, from the most well-known to the least known. Friend, we need to know, is our heart right with God? Now, there's so many things I could say about the heart. I'm telling you, friend, it's imperative that we keep our heart right. The Bible said, keep thy heart with all of thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe that's Proverbs 4 and 23. Hey, the way to keep it right is to keep it in right relationship with God, to keep it in the Word of God, to keep it in prayer, to keep it in meditation, to keep it in fellowship, to keep it in falling with the Lord. Hey, I want you to know, and we need to know, if our heart's right with the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us, according to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, He said that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Isn't that a terrible thing? Isn't that a frightful thing to know that we've got something in us that is defined and described in that manner? Who can know it? The Bible goes on in verse 10 and said, I, the Lord, I try the reins. I know the heart. God said, I know it. But can I ask you something? Is your heart right with God? Oh, I dare say, if I turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7, and begin reading in verse 17, friend, we'd be amazed, we'd be astonished at the things that come out of a heart of man, a heart, friend, that is fallen, a heart that is depraved, a heart that has been affected by the virus of sin. Do you know the heart is the inner place of us? The inner man part of us, out of which comes all of our will, our actions, our reasons, our desiring. Isn't that something? And all, when we begin to look at the heart according to the Word of God, it's startling, is it not? I mean, it's breathtaking. The question is your heart right with God? Do you know something? This pandemic with our enemy, it's a strange season we find ourselves in, is it not? This COVID-19 stuff still continues, still going on. And it's forced us, it's forced many uninvited things on all of us to contend with, to deal with, to decide on. But do you know what? Do you understand that the situation we find ourselves in life gives vis to the things that are resident in our heart? They don't produce them. Look, friend, opportunities are opportunities to reveal what is in our heart. And may I ask you what's in yours? May I ask you how this has affected you? How this is affecting you spiritually? Well, I know everybody's talking about this and that. People are talking about the economy. But can I tell you something? The most important thing that we can consider as the children of God are the spiritual things. The most important thing, friend, is not the economy. It'll take care of itself. I mean to tell you, we get back to school, things will correct their self in time. But the most important thing we ought to consider is how this has and is affecting us spiritually. So with that in mind, will you allow me to probe a little bit? Will you allow me to obey the Spirit of God as I plan to do? Ask you some questions while I hope and pray your answers will be encouraging for you to hear. But if they're not, can I ask you, can I beg you, can I implore you? Take just a moment of time to seek help from the Lord God in prayer. Seek the aid of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Do whatever it is. Get it right. Friend, listen. Repent where and if necessary to get right with God, whatever that means for you or whatever that means for me, and then get up, get going. Get going again. Get right. Get up. Get going. Now listen, friend, listen. Since all this stuff began, they begin to diagnose this pandemic, this unseen enemy, except by microscopes. Since we have this beginning, things begin to change, and they're still changing. You know what? We've been unable to do things that we normally would, things that we maybe took for granted, things, friend, that we never knew how much we loved until they were taken from us. They begin to change. I mean, now we're unable to go to the house of the Lord. Well, things are opening up now. We're heading back to our fellowship. We're heading back to our worship. And I know some of you are still afraid to go, and that's okay. I understand that. But listen, what I'm going to say down in here, I'll say more about that. But look, let me ask you these questions. Time goes so quick on this program. God's already speaking to some of you, isn't He? You're even scared of what I'm going to ask. But look, let me ask you something. Are you happy or sad about the fact you can't gather God's people in fellowship and worship and sing the songs of Zion? I mean, to tell you, do you give it a thought? Is Sunday just another day for you? Or do you find that you're happy to sleep in, read the paper, lounge around or whatever? Oh, listen, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Some of you haven't been going on Sunday night for a long time anyway. Some of you hadn't been going on Wednesday night for a long time anyway. The only time some of you were going on Sunday morning, that's better than nothing. But I'll tell you what, one of these days you stand before God, you'll regret it. The Bible said we ought not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Has it grieved you? Has it grieved your heart, your spirit? How that when you've not been able to get up on Sunday morning, put your Sunday going meat and clothes on and get to the house of God and worship and fellowship the other believers of your a fellowship of faith. Hey, are you closer to the Lord now than what you were before all this started? Have you just grown cold in your relationship, fellowship with Him? Where are you at? How are you going to test yourself? You like Peter, following the Lord afar off. Hey, are you still reading your Bible through? Are you doing your daily regular devotions? I mean to tell you, are you following your daily read through the Bible plan? Do you still do that time, invest that time with just you and the Lord? Oh, listen, friend, or has the Bible been laying in the same spot that you left it the last time you did come home from church before they said you can't meet in fellowship? Job said, I've seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food is in the book of Exodus. I've not turned there and looking, but I believe it's in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, where the manna was given by God every day, but it was the responsibility of the people to go out and gather it, a daily portion for everybody. Nobody that went to get it got more than they needed or less than they needed, according to the person. Can I ask you another question? Although you may have fears about going back to the fellowship, the house of faith, the house of the Lord, a house of prayer, can I ask you, sir, ma'am, do you really have a longing to be there? I mean, does it grieve your heart when whatever your worship time comes that and you say, oh, I'd like to be there. Oh, I know things have changed, but I know they're getting ready to preach. Somebody's praying. Maybe somebody's testifying. Oh, is your heart broken? Does it ache? Because you can't be there, although you'd love to be there. Oh, there's fear. There's legitimate fear. Listen, there are people that I discourage from coming that have certain problems that you're a higher probability of getting this illness, this disease, and maybe even die with it. It's funny. I'm at the making of this program, I just turned 67 years of age yesterday. Isn't that funny? Now I'm in that high category risk, but I can't wait to get back there this Sunday. How good it was last Sunday night when we came through the doors, entered into His courts with praise, into His gates with thanksgiving. How wonderful it was. Let me ask you one more question because time's running by. Have you found this time away from the things of the Lord a blessing or something you feel robbed from? Something you feel like you've been forced to give up? Something that's left a dirty taste in your mouth because you couldn't get there? You had a longing, had a desire. Oh, listen, friend, you've had to give up the things that you treasure, the things that you need, the things that you live for. Hey, I did a message last Sunday night, a little kind of extemporaneous message. I mean to tell you, I'd studied and looked and I'd prayed and done my due diligence to find out what God would have me to preach on the first Sunday night back in our fellowship, in our sanctuary, in our building. And you know what I ended up preaching on? The things I need. I'm telling you what, I need the fellowship of God's people. I need the corporate worship of the Lord. I need to see people. I need to be able to gather together with the saints at a stated place, at a stated time. I need the Word of God preached to me. I need expounded the truths expounded to my heart and to my ears. I need to be confronted about the failures of my life, the propensities of this fallen flesh, the sin and forsake God. I need the prayers of those I love. I need to hear the songs of Zion as they're sung. I need to hear people praise God, give Him glory and honor and thanks for the salvation and the multitude of other things that He has done for people who have been saved by grace. But how about you? How's your heart? Is it right with God? Listen, we don't have to go to church to be right with God. That's not what I'm proposing. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe if you're right with God, you'll want to go to church. I believe, bless God, listen, when my mom got sick and she couldn't go, you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to go to the house of the Lord. Wasn't long before my mother-in-law, who just recently passed, hey, listen, she couldn't go, but you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to go to the house of the Lord. You might not be able to go. Bless God, you ought to want to. I'll tell you that. If you don't, there's something wrong. And if you're able to go, bless God, you're able to go. There's no reason that you shouldn't and you don't want to. You don't go, there's something wrong. It's your heart, right? That's where it is. You see, the heart of the matter is the heart. I don't care what's wrong, bless God, the heart of the matter is the heart. And we don't know our heart nearly as well as we think. So if I know my heart, well, we don't. If we did, I'm afraid it would frighten us. I'm afraid it would startle us. I'm afraid it would scare us to where we couldn't sleep for a year. So how's your heart? Listen, friend, walking the Lord, knowing the Lord is more than a routine. Although, listen, friend, having a routine is extremely important. I want you to know, friend, listen, it's a relationship that we have with God. It's a fellowship that we have with God's people. And I wonder, you'll have to answer, is your heart right with God? Hey, if it isn't, repent. If it isn't, go to God. If it isn't, get real. If it isn't, just say, God, I need a touch. I need cleansed. I need warmed up. I need stirred up. I need cleaned up. Well, God, I just need you. Go to Him, would you? If it isn't right, He can get it right. He's a great physician, the great surgeon. I love you. Appreciate you. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.